There are several places in the Gospels where Jesus refers to the devil. In one place, he calls the devil a liar and a murderer from the beginning. From the beginning. That's a direct reference to our scene from the first reading today from Genesis. Jesus is the one who helps us to read and understand Genesis 3, chapter 3, more fully. The devil's a liar. He hates the truth. And every word that he speaks is a distortion of the truth. God's not your father who gives you your daily bread. He's a tyrant who withholds the gift. And if you grasp it for yourself, then you will be like God. Never mind that we were created from the beginning in the image and likeness of God. It's a lie of the devil to tell us everything that we're missing and everything that we need to be whole. Take this drink and you'll feel whole. Take this drug and you'll feel whole. Go to this website and you'll feel whole. Gossip about these people and it'll make you feel better. You'll feel whole. Tell a crude joke and you'll feel whole. No. Those are the lies of the liar from the beginning. And when we ate the forbidden fruit, the life of God died within us, so to speak. That's why Jesus calls him a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Genesis closes by saying that when they had eaten the fruit, their eyes were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they covered themselves. Their eyes weren't open to knowledge. Good knowledge, anyway. But to the realization they could hurt each other. To the realization that they needed to protect themselves from each other. They were no longer comfortable being vulnerable in front of each other or in front of God. It says later on that they hid themselves from God too, tried to. And in a sense, they lose their status as son and daughter of God. Just before our gospel today was the story of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan, where the voice of the Father declares him to be my son, the beloved. When Jesus goes to the desert, this is what the garden looks like under sin. The devil comes to him just as he did to Adam and Eve. He tries to undermine Jesus' status as son. If you are the Son of God, if you are. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the devil comes to twist the truth again. But here's the main thing I want to emphasize for us today. With all three temptations, Jesus fights back with Scripture. We need to be disciples of Jesus. We need to follow his example. We need to have a daily diet of Scripture. If you don't read or pray with any other Scripture on your own, read and pray with the Gospels every day. It will transform your life. Jesus uses Scripture to fight off the devil. Scripture can and should be used for us to help us fight off the devil too. And don't fool yourself into thinking that he's not tempting you, that he's leaving you alone. I guarantee he's distorting the truth in your life too. That's why we need to fight back with the Word of Truth, the Holy Scripture. Jesus says, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. He says that we live on the word of God. we don't feel fully alive. Part of the problem may be we're not living on, living from the Word of God. And you can listen to the Bible in a Year podcast by Father Mike Smith, or join a Bible study, or start a Bible study. Do whatever you have to do. Get a daily dose of Scripture. Jesus then says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." All three times he's quoting from Deuteronomy. Satan wanted him to provoke God. Cast yourself down from the parapet of the temple. God has promised to care for you, to catch you, to guard you. Provoke God. Jesus wants only to be in communion with God. For 40 days, he had been alone with God, trusting him, loving him, praying to him. Never once provoking or challenging him. When you and I spend time alone with the Word of God, we grow in trusting, loving, and praying to him too. But the last temptation, before Jesus quotes Scripture for the third time, he teaches how to command Satan. He says, "Be gone, Satan." Until this moment, Jesus was patient, even with his enemy. But here the enemy overplays his hand, calling the Word of God, Jesus, the Word of God, to idolatry. Satan is so possessed by power and achieving dominion over others, he can't understand someone who isn't tempted by power, who isn't tempted by the desire to control the will of others. Probably on a daily basis, we need to imitate the Lord in this way of casting out Satan. But, this is important, we need to add something to this simple two-word prayer, because Jesus has the strength and the authority and the power to command Satan. But you and I don't. But we do have the authority to call upon the name of Jesus. And so we can say, "In the name of Jesus, be gone, Satan. In the name of Jesus, be gone, Satan." Pray that regularly. And adapt it to the moment. Maybe you say, "In the name of Jesus, be gone, spirit of lust, of envy, of greed, of anger, selfishness, etc." What Jesus did, we should do too. And then Jesus cites the Scriptures. "The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." We're called to worship or bow in profound reverence to God. We're called to serve or adore him, and him alone. And if you read and pray with Scripture regularly, and you know this is the same word that Joshua used when he said to the Israelite people, "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." So here's the homework for the week. First, read and pray with a few verses from the Gospel every day this week. We're reading through the Gospel of Matthew, this liturgical calendar year of the church. Maybe pray and read with Matthew. Second, look for an opportunity to read those verses with someone else, whether that's a family member, or a friend, or a classmate, or even someone in your workplace. Make the Word a regular part of your life.